Yeah, my name is Jeff Chittister. I'm the Democratic candidate for North County Commissioner. I've lived in Porter County for about the last 12 or 13 years. I grew up in Lake County, started my political activity in Lake County as a precinct committeeman. Basically, I've never held elective office, worked within the party, held a number of positions within the party. I'm currently the Democratic chairman of the Porter County, and I'm also the first congressional district Democratic chairperson.
Okay. Let's start with asking, the simple question of why you're seeking this office. What is it you hope to accomplish?
Okay. Thanks, Doug. I'm coming to the end of my ironworking career. And the last 20 years, I've been the financial secretary treasurer of the union. I've handled all the money, served on our pension plan, and been the lead trustee on our health and welfare plan. We're fortunate enough to have three pensions. I mean, two of them are self-directed investments, so I work a lot with our younger people and teach them how to handle money and plan for their future and everything. So with all that being said, I want to give something back to my community. I've been in politics since 1980. I've always seen how the government truly works. And in my heart, I want to do something back, give back to my community. And so when I looked at the election cycle, what offices were available, the commissioners was the one that fascinated me. And it kind of almost mirrored, not identically, but similarly, to the job that I currently hold. I mean, I negotiate contracts. I do the payroll for the employees. I monitor our employees. I help run our healthcare plan, our pensions, like I stated, and negotiate the contracts. Just a lot of the things that the commissioners do are very similar to the job that I have. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, the county's buildings, are a primary issue for the commissioner's responsibility. You know, where do you see the county headed in terms of its building needs?
Well, I know they've done a study with regards to their other buildings and properties, and I'd like to see what that study looks like, to be quite honest with you. But my thoughts, pure and simple, are is that we have some available land and property that possibly we might want to go ahead and take advantage of. I know that the county government center is kind of bursting at the seams. They've been redoing a lot of things. So there's a courtyard there, and being an ironworker, we kind of like to build things. So the bottom line of it is that I think we probably should look at the possibility of building and filling that in and giving us more space. Being involved in the elections by being the Democratic chair, and then also my wife is in voters registration for the last 17 years, it seems like we constantly are bouncing the early vote site in Valparaiso around. We need some continuity there, and if we added on to that building, we could designate a spot specifically for storing the voting equipment and using it for the early voting site, so it's there year after year after year. The other departments that need more room, we could then kind of realter things and then expand there. And last but not least, I know that we're renting property. And possibly we could consolidate and bring those departments back into the government center and not pay rent and use that rent money to basically pay for the expansion of that building.
Okay. Roads, how do you see the county addressing its road needs?
I'm sure they're like everybody else. I mean, we've seen a number of communities have an enacted wheel tax to basically generate that additional funding to pay for some of their additional road work that they need to do. Porter County is probably no different than any other county, but probably the biggest difference is that we're sitting on these hospital proceeds. And then now that they have it invested and getting a return on that money, I think we need to look at this in a 5-year and 10-year circumstance on how much money we think we're going to bring in there and get a game plan together and pull our wish lists out and see roads, buildings, drainage, other infrastructure. And kind of get that roadmap and put it out there and then kind of use it as a guide to help us to use that money wisely instead of just, just let it sit up and using it for a crisis and just plugging whatever gaps we need to plug.
Okay. We have the stormwater issue now with the fee in place.
Sure.
And all of that. How do you see the county involved in addressing, a wider range of stormwater issues?
Well, I'm happy to see that. I live in unincorporated Portage Township, and right up from South Haven, and I know that's a big issue over there because that's a major problem, you know. So, I guess my thoughts. I would like to explore the possibility of possibly bonding for all of our drainage problems. I think this does a couple of things. Number one, it then takes a lot of the drainage off the board once we start to complete these projects. And then if we do anything in the future in planning and building our plan commissions or anything like this and create a drainage problem, we know who created them. And we basically then should basically go back to the people that created them and tell them that they need to fix them. Secondly, I guess I'm skeptical of government having a building up a pot of money. Okay, they have a tendency to kind of like have a shortfall in one area of government and see that money as a kind of a piggy bank that they can go ahead and take an IOU out on and everything. If you bond for this, you do a couple of things. Number one, you bring bigger contractors into the picture. They won't bid on the small little drainage projects, and they'll sharpen their pencil, and then you can get them involved. And many of them are local in general. You know, like Marshall or somebody like that. They wouldn't bid on like a small ditch project or something, where if they bid them all out, they may go ahead and bid on them, and then they subcontract them out to maybe Mr. Sutton or somebody like that, then they're responsible because they basically locked the bid in. The other thing, too, is like I said, with that money being there, then use that money that you generate from that fee to retire the bonds. And that way that money is allocated and it's given, you know, specifically for that. Rather than, you know, build it all up and then, like I said, somebody comes and takes and borrows it or something and it doesn't get paid back. Kind of like what's happened with Social Security and veterans money and stuff in the federal government.
Okay. What do you, how do you respond to people who would say, you know, why are you borrowing money when there's all this pot of, you know, huge pot of gold that you leprechauns are sitting on?
Yeah, I think we can use some of that money, to be quite honest with you, but we need to be frugal because you never know when the next crisis is going to happen. I mean, ArcelorMittal, we went through this one time before with Bethlehem Steel. I mean, if they decide to pull out of Burns Harbor or United States Steel, at National Steel decides to, and we lose a large tax base, then we're going to need some of that money to basically plug the gap and the shortfall that we're going to end up having, inheriting. So I think you need to set a priority on using principle of hospital money. And I think that they've done something like that by saying it has to be a unanimous vote. So, I mean, I can always say, Doug, pure and simple, that, yeah, we need to use that money for this, this, or this. But that means I have to get 9 more votes out of that. And you know, in all honesty, that's not an easy task. And it's a bipartisan, and which is good, because everybody comes to the table with a different point of view. So I understand the need, but we're frugal county. The only bond that I know that we have currently right now is the jail. You know what I mean? And interest rates are where they are right now. I mean, you can borrow money, I mean, and probably actually get a better return on that money than what you're basically using that bond for. So.
Okay. The council, not so much in you know, the past few years, but the council and the commissioners have had a little bit of tension in the past. How do you see yourself as trying to maintain a good relationship between the two?
Well, basically, like I said, as an iron worker, I've negotiated probably about 12 contracts. I've never walked into that room thinking that I as a union representative, is going to get everything that I'm asking for. I have to give and take. And the bottom line of it is that even though I'm the Democratic chairman, I have to compromise. As a commissioner, I need one other commissioner to support whatever idea I may have. And if I can get 2, that's even better. As with regards to the council, I think that I'm going to have to deal with a lot of different people. And I may end up having more problems with my Democrats than I would with the Republicans when it comes down to it. I mean, there's some of them that take their no-tax stance very seriously. And they've made these pledges and promises when they run. But in all honesty, if we stick to something like that, it kind of boxes us in. So I think we need to reach out across aisle and compromise. I mean, my ideas are not always going to be the best. Another person from another party may end up having a way better idea or maybe be able to enhance my idea, and I should embrace that. Compromise is not a dirty word. I think that's one of our problems in national government and also state government. No one wants to give the other guy credit for doing something that might benefit everybody for political gain.
Okay. since you would be the North County Commissioner and live in Portage Township, you're, you know, obviously pretty attuned to the idea of, you know, what do we do with the North Porter County Government Center? Do we, you know, shut it down and you know, put it in downtown Portage like Mayor Snyder wants, or do we do something with that building? Yeah. Do you have thoughts along that line?
Well, I know that there's supposedly a study with regards to that building, and if they haven't really completed it, or they need to accelerate it and see what we need to do there. I mean, I'm under the impression that we have about another 14 or 15 acres there. It may be cheaper to go ahead and enhance that building or expand that building than it would be to build a whole new building, okay? In all honesty, the only way I'd really even really give serious thought to moving it downtown Portage is if you had a buyer where it was a win-win situation. You don't want to just abandon that building and build something. I mean, you know, you have hospital money, yeah, you could use, but once again, let's be prudent, let's be smart about how we're going to do this. Enhancing the building may be the better option, but we should not take any cards off the table. We should look at what the study tells us and see what we need to do to enhance or build or expand North County. I'm not adverse to building a new building, but I do feel that we should look at our first option first, the more cost-effective part of it.
Okay. Okay. You're obviously going out on the campaign trail. Yeah. What are they telling you?
They don't talk about local government as much. I mean, you know, they seem to be somewhat happy with the way Porter County is being run, and I feel the same way too. I'll be honest with you, but you get an earful with regards to the presidential race, and it's really hard to read because you may go to someone that says has a proud Union Home sign in their yard, and they'll expound about how they think Donald Trump is the greatest guy since sliced bread. And then you may go to a someone that you feel would be a Trump supporter, and they really talk a lot about Hillary, you know. So it's hard to get a read on that. But I will say this much. The majority of them feel that the state is headed in the wrong direction. I mean, you know, those Pence must go signs and all those signs out there. So somewhere down the line, there's resonation there. There's people feel that really strongly about the way our state has been going. And
what are the issues that make them feel that way?
Social, partisan, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, Mark, in all honesty, I mean, and just like you guys said about, you know, Doug just expounded about the hospital money. Why are we going to do a bond and invest in hospital money? You hear a lot about why we got $2.1 billion surplus and our I-65 was closed down for so many days, and our roads are falling apart. And, some of the laws that they passed were supposed to bring, you know, jobs to Indiana, right to work, or repeal of common construction wage. And those are near and dear to my heart, being a union person. But they don't see the jobs coming, you know. And then always, you'll always have people in Northwest Indiana feel that we're like the stepchild of Indiana. So there is a lot of resentment there that, if they make a trip down to Indianapolis, it's like 10 lanes on both sides and stuff, you know. And then you go down and you go through parts of I-65 and it's like a washboard and stuff. The road is just terrible, everything. So they really feel that we're being neglected. And Klein Avenue becomes up an issue too.
Okay. Well, now, if you're elected, how do you see your relationship between, you know, Porter County and state government?
Well, once again, the other party has control of everything. You got to work with those guys, you know. I mean, I have a real good relationship with all my Democrats. I mean, Leader Pelath and you know, Chuck Mosley and Senator Talian and everything. I work very closely with them on a number of issues. But they're in the minority. So there have been times that I've had to tell them that, listen, in my opinion, I think we need to probably be flexible on some of these issues. And I also leave them to there to do their job. I wouldn't tell you guys how to do your job, so I wouldn't, you know, expect anybody to tell me how to do my job or me to tell the senator or representative how to do their job. But I also preach flexibility and bipartisanship. You got to get stuff done. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they do. But then sometimes the politics enters into it, and they're entrenched. And I feel sorry for them. I'd hate to be in a position where I had the best idea in the world and I couldn't even get anybody to hear me because of politics.
You mentioned that you're working with contracts, of course, and the nature of your job. How do you see the commissioner is working with the other department heads and, you know, and so forth on contracts that, that involve county government. I mean, you know, what parameters would you like to see laid out?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, they need to be mindful of the budget. I mean, if they want to do something, they have to look at the budget as a whole and make sure that their proposal is not going to be a budget buster. And they shouldn't be so quick to say, well, listen, this is probably what we really do need to do, and if we can't afford to do it in the budget, let's just use the hospital money. I mean, we need to probably think things through. Contracts are an art of negotiation and compromise. So as a commissioner, I think that we should listen to what they've got to say and tell them our opinions, listen to their opinions, and negotiate from that point.
Okay. With the office holders you're talking about.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, they know their jobs better than I do. I mean, you know, I don't know all the nuances of the clerk's office or the recorders or the surveyors or anything like this. And I'd have to take them their word at face value. So I would listen to them, and then, like I say, I would tell them my opinion or ask, you know, other people and try to gather as much knowledge as possible. I mean, that's whenever we negotiate our contracts, we go into it pretty well armed with knowing safety and wages and what it's going to take to run the health care plan and the projections. You got actuaries that give you all these numbers and everything that is for your pensions and everything like this. So you basically go in there armed with as much information as possible, because when you start talking about this, somebody's always going to throw something back at you and say, I mean, this is what how I perceive it or I understand it. And they might be shooting from the hip.
Okay. At the risk of sounding like a teacher, how would you compare and contrast yourself with your opponent, Jim Biggs?
In all honesty, good guy. He's a good guy. I have nothing but respect for Councilman Biggs. Very knowledgeable. I think the only real difference between Jim and myself is that probably is our styles of how we manage and get things done. I mean, he is probably more of a like management or type of a perception on getting things done, where I'm the union guy in me and stuff, as I'm always trying to reach consensus. I just feel I understand the plight of the employees with the health care or maybe their wages or anything like this and everything. It's not always just bottom line. Yeah, so I try to look at that from the standpoint of that, what can we do to bring everybody up to where they need to be, and we're not, like I said, turning things upside down. So.
Okay. Do you have questions?
No. I guess we were glad to nominate, and the commissioners were honored at the state level for the open, the transparency.
Absolutely.
Work that they're doing for the O'Bannon Award. We've all noticed that, but I mean, is there more that can be done?
Yeah.
You see other areas maybe?
Yeah. Transparency has always been something that I've been very strongly adhered to. I have to do it at the union. Everything we do has to be bid out, you know, and then it's brought back to our members. And we have two meetings a month, and they get to hear everything, how the other money is being spent. I know that some people say that they should put maybe a threshold on where, you know, you don't have to bid or anything like this. I don't have a problem bidding everything, you know, everything out. I applaud the commissioners that they're moving in that direction, because for a long time it wasn't moving in that direction. So now that things are starting to move in that direction, I think we can move a little bit further. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I think we need to basically do one commissioner meeting in the evening. I mean, people want to see how county government runs. And if there's no attendance in the evening, I mean, we change things with our union meetings and everything like this to try to generate more attendance and everything. But at the end of the day, it still gives them the opportunity to come and see how county government runs. If you do it during the day, many of us have to work during the day. And sometimes it's hard to get away from work to go to a meeting. And these are important meetings. This is how your money's being spent. And ordinances and rules are being passed and everything that affect your daily life and everything. So it's sad to think that we basically decide that it might be convenient because all the county employees are on the payroll during the course of the day. I mean, why can't they come to a meeting in the evening? And if we have to work out that, you know, that's something we should probably definitely work on.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's give you a chance to, you know, is there anything we didn't ask that we should have or concluding thoughts? Yeah,
you guys know. I mean, there's a lot of ranges. I mean, the commissioners are, you know, the executives of the county. And there's a lot of issues that probably we could talk about over a period of time. The health care plan, the, you know, well, we talked about drainage and economic development and low taxes and things like this. I mean, there's a lot of things. But at the end of the day, I've never professed to be the smartest guy in the room. I mastered running our health care plan with many nuances. The ACA, when it came in and everything like this, I mean, it's been a real nightmare. But our plan is well-funded, so, and I've learned that. I don't profess to know everything about county government. My opponent knows a lot more than I do. I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, he's been more involved with it. But I'd hate to think that we look at electing people that only have government experience. Because if we would have taken that kind of position, we would have never had a Ronald Reagan or somebody like that. So, like I said, I want to give something back to my community. I look at this as a prime opportunity. I'm not going to be a career politician. I'm 63 years old. I do want to eventually retire and enjoy my life. But I also want to see this county do good or do better.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you very much.